Morning and happy Easter. What a great day it is today to celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. Now we're going to keep that passage open. It'd be great if you had a Bible with you to keep that open, that passage in John 7, because we'll be looking at that closely. Now if you've got young kids here and would find it helpful, we do have some colouring sheets up the back here and a worksheet that they'd be welcome to do during this part of the service. But now, this is a day that's all about life, about resurrection life. Now, when I think about glorious living, my mind goes to this ad from about 15 years ago. And I don't know if you remember, but this is Barry. This is Barry from the ad. It's a BCF ad. And Barry's the kind of guy who likes to spend his weekends watching documentaries with his kids. But the ad suggests, that ain't living, Barry. This is living, followed by a whole series of clips of boating, camping and fishing. Now, you might be more like me and actually feel quite an affinity with Barry and watching documentaries with your family. But the ad itself touches on something so true about us, doesn't it? That deep down feeling that we don't want to just live. We want to live. And we know there's a difference. We have this thirst to live a life of meaning and satisfaction and joy. That's what we're searching for. But although it's something we all want, it seems so difficult to find or to keep. As we heard earlier, you know, we might have one of those this is living moments every now and then. We might settle on a new house, have a new baby, enjoy a holiday overseas that we've been saving up for. But all those things don't last, do they? Very soon we're back down to earth and living with that nagging dissatisfaction, that ever-present thirst for something more, a thirst for truly living. And we can actually become quite good at distracting ourselves from this thirst. Maybe like me, your smartphone's constantly near you, on you. And when there's a quiet moment, when you're about to be alone with your thoughts, what's it easy to do? Get the phone out, unlock it, cycle through those few apps that we normally do, and push that dissatisfaction away for a moment, that anxiety, those questions about the life you're living. Push them away and not think about them. Well, in our passage today, Jesus doesn't let us do that. He brings this thirst out into the open and says, he is the answer to it. Not an answer, not an answer, not one among many, but he is the way to satisfy your thirst. Now, at this point in John's account of Jesus' life in John 7, there is a festival going on, a Jewish festival. A week-long festival called the Feast of Tabernacles. And throughout this festival, water was a big deal. Each morning, a procession went down to a pool called the Pool of Siloam. And they were singing songs to God and carrying tree branches and fruit. And when they reached the pool, they would fill a golden flask with water. And then the procession would head back to the temple, and the water would be poured into a bowl and then offered to God on the altar along with the normal drink offering. And this was a way for the Jews to call upon God to provide rain. But it was also a way of anticipating something that was to come. The day when God would send his king, his Messiah, and pour out his spirit. And so in this festival, the Jews were looking forward to a new life with God's king. They were thirsting for a life that lasts. And so that's where we pick up the story in verse 37. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Jesus is saying that he is able to fulfill those Jewish longings, our longings for life that lasts. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now, do you see how simple this remedy is for their thirst, for our thirst? It's a simple remedy because it doesn't require any qualifications to come. Jesus doesn't say, if you're this kind of person, if you're kind, if you're nice, if you're religious, if you haven't done anything majorly wrong, if you've got your life together, come to me. No, he doesn't say that. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. That's the only condition, being thirsty. You don't have to try and clean up your past. You don't have to get your life together beforehand. You just need to be thirsty and acknowledge your thirst and not try and hide from it. And that means if you're sitting here today and you are thirsty for a life that lasts, then Jesus' invitation is for you. So what does Jesus invite the thirsty to do then? Well, he says, come to me and drink. And notice again how simple this is. Jesus doesn't say, come to me and follow a 10-step program. That's what we're used to, isn't it? You know, if you just start getting up at 4:30 a.m. in the morning and making the most of those mornings, if you just get into the right habits of eating or exercise, if you just make yourself a good budget, if you just do this and this and this. No, Jesus doesn't give us a 10-step program. Jesus says, I am the answer to your thirst. He's the one we need. Come to me and drink, Jesus says. But how could that possibly satisfy us? How could coming to Jesus really quench our thirst? Well, it's because of who Jesus is. The Bible tells us that he is not just any ordinary man. He is actually the God who made us. God the Son, come in human form. And we were not only made by him, but we were made for him. We were made to know God, to enjoy relationship with him. That's what we were designed for. And yet the Bible says also that we are sinners, that we are those who by nature are living disconnected from the God who made us, that we've rejected him, that we're living our lives apart from him rather than with him and for him. We aren't living according to how we were designed to live. We're like a sailing boat designed to sail on the ocean, designed to cut through the waves on the sea, to have the wind filling our sails. But instead, we're sitting motionless on the land. That's what lies at the heart of our thirst. We were made for Jesus, but we're running away from him. Only coming to him, the God we were made to know and enjoy and be in relationship with only by coming to this one can we have life that lasts. And so Jesus says, come to me and drink. No qualifications needed. No setting your life in order beforehand. No 10-step program. No, simply come, drink. Trust me, believe in me. And what's the result? It is abundant life that lasts. Verse 38. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him. He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now this image of streams of water is one a wonderful image, isn't it? Streams flowing from within the believer shows just how abundant this life is that Jesus offers. This is not like Toucan Sam's water bottle that will run out and leave him thirsty again. No, this is a fountain, a self-replenishing stream flowing out continually. And Jesus is saying he can provide this kind of drink. the kind of life that doesn't dry up but lasts forever. And he says something similar earlier in John, in John's account of Jesus' life, to a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, pointing to a water drawn to water drawn from a well. Jesus says there, verse 13, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That is the kind of life that Jesus offers. Abundant life that doesn't dry up, but wells up even to eternal life. And our passage today, John 7, tells us that the reason for this abundance, the reason this life is so good, is that it's marked by the presence of God's Spirit. That's what John explains to us in verse 39. He, Jesus, said this about the Spirit. And so when we come to Jesus, God gives us his Spirit. He is present with us. That's why what Jesus offers is so good. It's not because he guarantees an easy life for us. He doesn't. You read the book of Acts. We're reading that with our kids at the moment. It's the book right after this one in our Bibles. You see the kind of things Jesus' followers go through. The kinds of deaths that they die, the beatings they take, the hatred they face. Coming to Jesus won't guarantee you a comfortable or easy life or a healthy and wealthy life. But you know, you will get something that far outweighs any of those things. You get God. That's what you get. You get God. Not only now, but into eternity. That's the kind of life Jesus is inviting you into today. Now, if we try and quench our thirst for true life with other things, with those this is living experiences, it doesn't satisfy in the end. And it can even make that thirst worse. In some ways, it's probably like trying to drink seawater. I haven't tried doing this myself, except when I get a little bit in my mouth at the beach. But I hear, if you do this, if you try and drink a bottle of seawater, that it can initially quench that feeling of thirst that you have. But then what happens next? Well, the high salt content means that to get rid of the salt, that your body needs to get rid of it, your body's actually got to get rid of a whole lot more water than you took in as well in order to get rid of enough salt. And that leaves you dehydrated and thirstier than before. It's the same with trying to satisfy our spiritual thirst. Only God can satisfy our thirst because we've been created for him, to know him and be in relationship with him. But how can we be confident that Jesus can offer us what he says he can? That he really is who he says, that he really is God, and that he can give us life that lasts. Well, it's because of what he says right at the end of verse 39. What John says, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Well, friends, today we celebrate the fact that Jesus has now been glorified, that has happened, beginning with his death, his crucifixion, that we remembered on Good Friday, a death in our place and for our sin, and then continuing with his resurrection. The great news of today is that Jesus didn't stay dead. That's what the eyewitness records in the Bible tell us. That he rose from the dead to a new embodied glorious existence. That he was seen alive by hundreds of people. And then he ascended into heaven in glory. Now, no ordinary person has power over death, do they? Death is the great equalizer. From the greatest to the least of us, it takes us all. You know, we heard recently that the Princess of Wales, Princess Catherine, has cancer, doesn't she? Now, that's after hearing not long ago that King Charles has cancer. Now, we pray that their cancers might be able to be removed and cured. But can you see that death is something none of us can run away from in the end? From the least of us to the greatest of us. We might be able to delay it, but death eventually claims us all. Only God has power over death, the power to give life and to take it. And so Jesus rising to life shows us that he has God's power, that he is God the Son, and that he can give that life that lasts. And friends, he does give it. Those who are Christians in the room can tell you that personally, that when we come to Jesus, when we believe in him, when we drink from him, he pours out his Spirit and he brings us into relationship with God once more. And what a deep joy and contentment and peace there is in such a life. To know that we are in right relationship with God, to know his forgiveness, to know that he's present with us. Well, that can give us hope amid all the hard things of life. It can give us hope in the hospital ward. It can give us hope in the uncertainty of unemployment. It can give us hope at the funeral of a family member. It can give us hope even after the horrible betrayal of a spouse or a friend. Relationship with God brings hope even in the worst of situations. And we will face these hard situations, Christian or not. For now, this new life we're brought into in Christ is lived out in the world of pain and sadness. But it won't be forever. Because one day, if we've trusted in Christ, this life that we're living will give way to a new, glorious resurrection life in Christ. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, so will we. Now, there's a wonderful moment near the end of one of my favorite books, The Lord of the Rings, where Sam, one of the hobbits, wakes up after going through just immense suffering, nearly dying in his quest with Frodo to destroy the One Ring, which they did. And he wakes up to his friend, the wizard Gandalf, whom he thought was dead. And Gandalf asks how he feels. You read a bit of this. For a moment, between bewilderment and great joy, Sam couldn't answer. At last, he gasped, "Gandalf, I thought you were dead. But then I thought I was dead myself. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What's happened to the world?" "A great shadow has departed," said Gandalf. And then he laughed. And the sound was like music, or like water in a parched land. And as he listened, and the thought came to Sam that he'd not heard laughter and the pure sound of merriment for days upon days without count. It fell upon his ears like the echo of all the joys he'd ever known, but he himself burst into tears. "Then, as sweet rain will pass down a wind of spring, and the sun will shine out the clearer," his tears ceased, and his laughter welled up, and laughing he sprang from his bed. "How do I feel?" he cried. "Well, I don't know how to say it. I feel, he waved his arms in the air. "I feel like spring after winter, and sun on the leaves, and like trumpets and harps and all the songs I've ever heard." It's a beautiful moment, isn't it? And it's such a great parallel to the kind of life, the kind of hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. In the life that God offers, that we get to taste even now in this life. But enjoy to the full when Jesus returns and raises us to new resurrection life. Because this life itself is full of pain and sadness, isn't it? But we have hope of new resurrection life to come. A day, as Sam put it, when everything sad will come untrue, when all tears will be wiped away, and when we will feel like spring after winter, and sun on the leaves, and like trumpets and harps and all the songs we've ever heard, all because Jesus is risen. Are you thirsty for a life that lasts today? Well, if you're thirsty, come to the risen King Jesus and drink. Let me pray. Oh Lord God, thank you so much for this day that we can celebrate Jesus is alive, that he has risen, that he did not stay dead, but he has risen to glorious resurrection life. And thank you that he offers us life that lasts if we come to him and drink, if we believe in him, trust in him. Lord, I pray for all in this room that we might feel in our hearts the conviction that Jesus is who he says he is, that he does offer life that lasts, and we would come to him today and trust in him. Lord, please fill us with confidence as we go out today, whatever we're doing, that Jesus is alive, and that because of that, we have great hope. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.